Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this will be our concluding message on our study of the Antichrist here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, let's just read back to verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I want to emphasize again, he is a literal person. Man, son, in verse 3, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Tonight we want to look at the demise of the Antichrist. When he comes on the scene, he will come saying, lying, deceiving. He'll say that he's the answer. He's the Messiah. He's the one that will solve all the world's problems. He'll come promising peace and prosperity. And God says in His Word that He will have His time, His place in earth's history, but it will be short-lived. His reign will be 7 years. He will deceive the multitudes living upon planet earth. He'll make a peace pact with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. He'll break it at the midpoint. And really, as you study the book of Revelation and the ministry of the Antichrist, if you will, when that peace pact is broken, all hell on earth breaks out. And it becomes just a horrific, violent time upon the earth. And the wrath of God increases with each passing year. He will deceive. He'll be so confident of his deceptive hold over the masses that he will require all earth dwellers to worship him. Anybody that does not worship him, that won't take the mark of the beast, will not be able to buy or sell, which, by the way, that is already, that kind of mentality is already, people are being conditioned for it. You don't meet certain conditions. Listen, in China right now, they have a complete social score. And many of the globalists believe that this is the best way to save the environment. They want to put everything on digital currency so that they can track every penny that you make and spend. And eventually, People will be more than willing if it means getting food and drink and clothes. They will willingly take the mark of the beast. But there will be people, I believe, during a tribulation period who are going to be saved. I know that there's going to be at least 144,000 Jews saved. But I believe that there will be other people saved, and immediately they're going to be martyred. They're going to be found out because they won't take the mark of the beast, and that will identify them as an enemy of the Antichrist. They will be sought out and murdered, martyred for their faith. And again, I believe people are being prepared right now for that kind of mentality, a hostility against the followers of Jesus Christ. We are seeing it in our day and age. And it's a conditioning thing. Now, the Antichrist will literally be drunken with power and authority that God allows him to have during the 7-year tribulation period. He'll become so insane and prideful that he will actually believe and lead multitudes of people to believe that he can defeat the true God of heaven. The Antichrist will actually think that he is invincible. It's the Napoleon complex on steroids. It's the way a lot of leaders are. A lot of world leaders, globalist leaders, people with lots of money, lots of power, they think that they're invincible and above the law, above everything. And unfortunately, they get away with a lot of stuff. Well, that's not going to change during the tribulation period. He is going to magnify that kind of wicked leadership. However, we find the demise and the doom of the Antichrist is plainly revealed in our text. Folks, things look bleak right now. If you look around you, we are definitely in the minority. Those who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that believe that the first verse of the Bible declares God as the Creator, that He did it in 6 literal days and rested on the 7th, that we literally believe that there's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ, and it's our mission to tell everybody that we know, and even beyond, through our mission efforts, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. That's the message we believe. We believe that Christ is the only way to God. That His death, burial, and resurrection is the only means of salvation. That completely does away with every false religion of man. Away goes popery. I don't mean the kind you burn in your home. I'm talking about the papal system, Roman Catholicism, based on works. Many of the Protestants that come out of the old whore are just as bad with work salvation. Pentecostals, charismatics, who believe you can lose your salvation, they believe in a form of work salvation. When you start preaching that Jesus is the only way and that His salvation is an eternal one, it narrows it down. And for those who don't repent, who don't believe, who do not trust Christ, who do not receive Him, there will be damned, condemned, judged for all eternity. They'll die and go to hell, awaiting the day of the resurrection of the damned, where they'll be raised from the dead after the millennial reign of Christ, and they'll be raised to stand before the judgment the great white throne judgment, where God will determine out of the books that are open, the book that records their life and their history, that will determine what degree of punishment they will have. These are the things we believe. And I dare say, there's very few people in our world today that'll stand up and say, yeah, I'll put my stamp of approval on everything you just said. I believe with all my heart that marriage is between a man and a woman, that it's intended to be a lifelong union, that there's only two genders. I mean, you start looking at what the Bible says, and you start comparing it to what people in our world are being conditioned and indoctrinated to believe, and you find out pretty fast the agenda of this world does not include us. The world hates us because of what we believe about the Bible and about Jesus Christ. But I believe with all my heart that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is going to slay the power and the authority of the Antichrist, and he will be demolished, defeated by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it, the darkest chapter of Earth's history will be during the reign of the man of sin. Now, the people that lived through the dark ages, they have a case to be made of the oppression of the Roman Catholic Church. Certainly, they no doubt felt as though with all the tyranny, the religious oppression, the persecution, that they lived in at Earth's darkest history. Certainly people in World War II, in Germany and in Europe, where Jews were being systematically eradicated, exterminated, murdered by Adolf Hitler. Certainly they thought that this is Earth's darkest day. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't even compare. Compared to the ferocity, the hatred, the cruelty, the wickedness of the man of sin, the Antichrist. Wickedness, cruelty, violence, immorality, and depravity will be at its peak. And the multitudes will crave lawlessness and sin. There's a systematic agenda that's in place right now that wants to do away completely with any accountability to God, any authority of the moral law. And that's all due to the man of sin. He is the lawless one. And those who crave that lawless, immoral lifestyle will follow their leader with desires of overthrowing God and overthrowing His righteous government. People actually think they can do that today. I don't know if you've ever... I think about movies that have been made through the years. And there was one years ago, it was in the 40s, I think. It's called Inherit the Wind. It's a scripture in Proverbs. And it has Spencer Tracy, who is one of the best actors that there ever was. He plays the lawyer that defends the teacher that was teaching evolution in Tennessee in the Scopes trial. And he is presented as the hero, because he's challenging everybody. He calls the Bible a fairy tale. And you know, you think about back in the 40s, back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, we thought, wow, those are all Bible days. Surely people would. But it was a hit. People embraced the idea. And you know, that really the Scopes trial set in motion the ability to teach evolution, the theory of evolution. Evolution's never been proven. It's a theory. It's a hypothesis dreamed up by atheists who call themselves scientists. See, when people start today, everybody's talking about let's trust the science. I'm not so ready to trust the science on everything. Because I know what they've done when it comes to evolution. People have been conditioned to disbelieve everything the Bible teaches. And precious few will say, I know the whole world is against this, but I believe it. I love it. Christ has changed my life. I owe Him everything. I want to serve Him and honor Him and live for Him. And that's how we need to be in this day and age. Well, during the reign of Antichrist, during that period of time, God will be systematically pouring out His judgments upon the earth. Here's what's amazing to me about that, though. When you read the book of Revelation, people are being judged. The God of heaven is sending wrath to punish the inhabitants of the earth, and specifically Israel for their... It's the time of Jacob's trouble. They rejected the Savior, the Messiah. But you realize the multitudes will be so wicked and so void of spiritual understanding, they will not repent despite all the judgment. Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21 says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Despite the plagues and the judgments, they won't repent. Can people be so wicked as to worship devils, demon spirits? I hate to tell you this, but there are story hours being led by demonic Satan worshipers, where little kids are putting on the horns of the goat and all that in our world today. And their parents are taking them to see it all. Yeah, they're people that don't just not only hate God, they love wickedness so much they want to worship Satan. The entire sin-maddened world will be under the deceptive power of the Antichrist. However, all of this will be according to the plan and purpose and the permission of Almighty God. God will allow Antichrist to prosper and defy Him, God, only to put a dramatic end to the Antichrist's reign of terror with the second advent, the coming of the Lord Jesus. A.W. Pink wrote a book years ago called The Redeemer's Return. And he had a really good statement in it. And he also wrote a book called The Antichrist. Now, later on in his life, he was so influenced by Puritan writings that he became amill and denied a lot of his premillennial writings. But I still have them. And I think they're good. He said about the Antichrist. It is because men receive not the love of God's truth. He shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the devil's lie. It is because men had pleasure in unrighteousness, they shall be deceived by the lawless one. It is because Israel refused that blessed one who came in his father's name, that they shall receive the one who comes in his own name. This is why the Antichrist will, for a season, be suffered to prosper and apparently to defy God with impunity. But when God has used him to perform his own pleasure, then shall he empty upon him his judgment and upon his subjects the vials of his wrath. Just as God has set the bounds of the sea, saying, thus far shalt thou go and no further, so he has fixed the limits to which he will allow the Antichrist to go. And when that limit is reached, the son of perdition will find himself as helpless to pass beyond that which God has decreed, as a worm would be beneath the foot of an elephant. The Antichrist is going to gather his military forces for the final showdown against the Lord Jesus in the Battle of Armageddon. He and his followers will be so intoxicated with what they deem success, they will actually think they can withstand the power of God and defeat his counsel. In fact, it was a prophecy in Psalm 2, verses 2 through 3. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Just at the point when Antichrist and his followers think that they can actually defeat the counsel and the power of God, the heavens will open. In great glory, the King of Kings will descend, followed by the armies of glorified saints, to destroy the kingdom of the wicked one. Antichrist will be consumed by the brightness of the personal glory and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who with the breath of his mouth will destroy the Antichrist. The power of Christ will literally overwhelm him. You see, the final showdown between the Christ of God and the Antichrist of Satan is not going to be a long, drawn-out affair of hand-to-hand combat that you see in Westerns. It's not going to appear that he's throwing a knockout punch and the Lord's down for the count, and all of a sudden he miraculously raises up and defeats. No! He's going to overwhelm him with his glory. It will be no match whatsoever. The glory of Christ will overtake the undermatched Antichrist and all of his followers. The brief reign of Antichrist will be decisively terminated at the second advent of Christ. Now, I've said a lot of things tonight, and the Bible sums it up in one verse. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. How concise. How powerful. The Lord's going to literally defeat the man of sin with the breath of his mouth. Isaiah 11:4 says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Interesting that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, one of Antichrist's titles is the wicked. There are other scriptures. Isaiah 30. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation. and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, and scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down with smoke, with a rod. Isaiah 30, verse 27 through 28, 30 and 31. Daniel 11:45, speaking of Christ's coming and the destruction of Antichrist. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet shall he come to his end, and none shall help him. And then finally, the grand finale is Revelation 19, verse 15 and verses 19 through 21. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. You say, is this literally going to happen? Yeah! Is Jesus literal? Is the Word literal? Is he a real person? Yes, he is. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon his horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Judgment is coming in the second advent. And what a glorious day it'll be when the Lord Jesus Christ unleashes his sovereign power against the man of sin and terminates his wicked reign upon the earth. The Antichrist and his depraved followers will not be permitted to work wickedness ever again among the inhabitants of the earth. I believe that there's going to be hallelujahs and shouts of rejoicing heard from the saints of God as they see the Lord of Lords and King of Kings smite the wicked and judge them, and then cast the Antichrist and the false prophet alive into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, the demise of Antichrist will mark the beginning of the most peaceful and illustrious reign the earth has ever known. Because King Jesus will take his rightful place upon the throne of David, and he will rule the nations of the world in absolute righteousness. The influence of Satan will not be known or felt for 1,000 years. Because the one who energized Antichrist, Satan, will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Again, do you really believe that? Why not? Why shouldn't I believe it? Yeah, I believe it. Because Revelation 20, you start looking at everything about Revelation 20 that's literal. Satan is a literal created being. Jesus Christ is literally the Word of God. The resurrection is literal. The great white throne is literal. That's why I believe the 1,000-year reign is literal. It's real. All who are saved by the grace of God should long for the day of Antichrist's demise and doom, because it'll mark the commencement of our reign with Christ upon the earth for 1,000 years. And after that, that reign will continue in after the purgation of the universe, when there is he's going to make all things new. And it's beyond what I can even talk about. And we're going to live and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. Amen. This is not a fairy tale. It's God's Word. Amen. I hope you know Christ. Yes. Jesus may come tonight. And if you're unsaved, you'll be left behind. And you will suffer under the reign of the Antichrist. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. He's the only way. Let's all stand.